This is HPR episode 2404 entitled, Open Source Gaming Hash 1, Meridian 59. It is hosted by the dude, and is about 15 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, a showcase of open source games, starting with the revived MMORPG Meridian 59.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Okay, this is the dude here talking about the world of open source video games. Today I'm going to talk about Meridian 59 because not only is it an open source RPG, but it is an open source MMORPG. So for those who are broke and need something that's free and don't want to deal with microtransactions, this MMO is for you. Now, it was released, I believe, in 95, could be 96, one of the two. I'm just kind of improvising this thing here, as normal. It was originally published by the 3DO company, I believe. And then it went to, like, a couple different other companies after 3DO, like, went defunct. And then it was given to the original developers, and the original developers decided to make it open source. And that's where it is today. Now, the classic versions of the game you can get off of servers 101 and 102, which are on the Meridian 59 website. Then there's server 103, which you can get from the Open Meridian site. That's a private server with some newer in-game content. Then there's server 105, which I play on, and it has a choice between a classic client and a client that's called the Ogre client, which improves the graphics of it. Graphics are similar to Doom, and with the Ogre client, it makes it a little bit ahead of Doom. It's around kind of Quake-ish, with the exception of the enemies and characters and NPCs are still the animated cutouts. Then there's also the server that's the German server. I'm not sure what number it is, but that's the most popular one. And it also has the Ogre client, and then all content that server 105 has, the German server does, because they're run about like by the same people. Now, explain about open source, that means you can pretty much do what you want with the game. You can develop new stuff for the game. That's why it's still alive, is because it went open source. So you can make your own content. You can probably make your own ports as well, because currently it only works on Windows, although on the classic client for server 105 apparently works online, but the community hasn't really tested it a whole bunch. So we could use someone to check that. Also, maybe develop a Linux client, so that way you have like a MMORPG that is open source and free for you know, Linux or BSD or whatever operating system that can be made. Now, for the gameplay, it's first person, unless you have the Ogre client, then you can change it to third person. And as you can tell, I play on server 105. That's because I really, really like the Ogre client, and at the time it was the most populous. Now the most populous is the German server, and there isn't really a heck of a lot of people on server 105. Hopefully that will change after this podcast to get people, you know, interested in the game again. But anyway, it's first person, you know, hack and slash. Goal of the game is basically, you know, kind of like WoW, you know, you do quests, you attack monsters. The game has dungeons for players to do raids on. You also have guilds, and you can have rival guilds fight each other. There's at least three arenas in Meridian 59 that I've at least came across. There's the arena in Toss. Actually, there's two arenas in Toss. There's the Cranon Arena, which is like the big Roman Colosseum one, and below that there's the Arena of Death, which looks kind of like an underground fighting ring and stuff. And then there's the Brax Arena, that's in a place that's called Ancient Place of Unknown Origin. The Brax Arena is in that. And you can have PvP battles there. You can also have PvP battles pretty much everywhere except for inside shops and taverns and inns. But you can have, there's also different factions that you can pick that give you bonuses to different skill sets that you have. There are no classes per se. There are different schools of magic and different schools of like skill sets, but other than that, there really isn't exact class. There also isn't really levels. I mean, there are experience points, but instead of increasing level, you just increase your health with the experience points, so technically your health would be your level. And you also have a mana bar as well that you can increase by finding different mana nodes that are spread throughout the world of Meridian 59. As for the backstory, there is a huge, huge in-depth backstory of the world that you can find in different books that are throughout the land of Meridian. There's also different online forums that can explain it better. I know in server 105, the University of Kornoth also has a museum for each different version of the games. It's just this big, huge museum that explains what all was added, what all hasn't been added. They also have different portals that take you to, like, old time periods of the game, such as, like, back when in Toss, it is the Duke's nephew that is now the current Duke, since the Duke had been murdered in one of the previous expansions. And there's also ones that you could possibly might be able to play. Previous expansions for Castle Victoria, but don't quote me on that. I could be wrong on that, but If I am, that could be something that could be added for the sheer fact that there used to be a necromancer scenario that is no longer there. So there are no more necromancers for the game, with the exception of people that played on the original servers back in when that scenario was implemented. But for quest, the questing is kind of weird and different. You use the chat to talk to the NPCs. There's different commands that you and different statements that you have to type into the chat to activate a quest. At sometimes you have to be part of a guild or part of a faction or have a certain other hit points. Other quests, you just have to just say hello or the right statement to activate that quest. And some of them are just activated as soon as you walk in. But they use that type of system because of how old the game is. It was considered a graphical MUD, and it takes a lot of influences from like the old MUDs of the 1980s. But other than that, there isn't really much else to say besides that the game really has a lot of potential to be played by a lot of newer people, and it also, and a lot of potential to really, really grow, especially since with it being open source, someone could literally program it to be able to be ported to every single operating system. Somebody that wants to start their own server can do their own expansions. Server 105 has different area expansions, such as adding the Faro Woods and the tutorial village of Raza into the main map. Originally, Raza was just a tutorial area that you would go through a portal and you couldn't go back. They added a new area to link it from the main map of Meridian 59 to Raza, so that way you can leave and actually come back, which really helps because the crypt there needs two people to complete. So instead of sitting around and hoping someone comes in as a new player to finish the crypt dungeon, you can actually go about the world and then try to run into someone and say, "Hey, can you help me, finish this quest that I have to complete this dungeon?" And also there's more expansions to be made. There's a bunch of like people in the community that are trying to make new areas and increase the size of the game. And that seems to be about it. I'd recommend you all to try it out, and as many other open source games as well. So I'm the dude signing out.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.